can remember receiving a Christmas gift that at the time it was really, 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 really excited you. Anybody? Yeah? Karen, what? Sharon, Janet, what? A puppet stage. All right. So you could control people. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. Your first bicycle. How many of you can remember your first bicycle? Ah, and look. And we all, most of us survived without helmets, didn't we? That's right. If you were with us last Sunday, I shared with you a gift that Judy gave me that really excited me when I got it and still excites me to this day. I have to confess, though, I kind of messed up the story. I found out when I got home. I told you that Judy bought it for me. She didn't buy it for me. She painted it for me. I know. Tell me. But by Friday, things were all right back at my home. I was very impressed. But she did. It was excellent. And this is what it said. It said, in a sea of people, my eyes will always search for you. She printed. Oh, it is. It still is. It's the best. Ray, it's my turn to talk. But I got to tell you, it excited me when she gave it to me. It excites me today. It's probably the best gift she's ever given me other than when she said yes after I asked for 14 times. What's that? Yeah, I got children and grandchildren as well. See, I don't think I have to tell you, though, this morning that the Christmas story is all about God sending his son Jesus from heaven to earth searching for you and searching for me. Jesus confirms the reason he came when he said this. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Apostle John would also write that Jesus came as a gift from God. For God so loved the world that he, what?
Gave.
That's his gift. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. This morning, I just want to take just two or three minutes, and I want to illustrate the Christmas story with another real story. John Griffith was in his early 20s. He'd been married only a year and was full of optimism. Along with his lovely wife, he was blessed with a beautiful baby boy. As the boy grew older, John Griffith and his son became inseparable. The young boy often asked to go with his dad to watch him work as a bridge operator. How exciting it was to watch his dad raise and lower the drawbridge, allowing the boats to pass under and the passenger trains to pass over. As it was on many occasions, John Griffith said to his son, he said, stay here at a safe distance while I go and raise the bridge for the coming boat. The boy stayed where his father had left him and watched the bridge as it slowly lifted up into the sky. Suddenly, the boy heard the faint cry of an approaching passenger train. The Memphis Express was coming much sooner than they had expected. The father up in the control room could hear neither the whistle of the train nor the warning cry of his son. The boy saw the train racing closer and closer, and he started to run along the platform to reach his father. Knowing that there was a level he could pull near the operating gears of the bridge, the boy ran to the door in the platform and tried to lower himself down to reach the lever. Losing his balance, he fell where the gears came together and was caught. At the same time the father saw his son fall down into the hole in the platform, he also saw the fast approaching train. In horror, he realized that if he didn't start lowering the bridge immediately, it would not be down in time for the train to pass safely. The train would crash into the river below, killing hundreds of innocent people. The man was faced with an unimaginable dilemma. Race to save his son at the cost of hundreds of lives, or sacrifice his son to save the passengers on the train. He made the only choice he could, and he pulled the lever to lower the bridge. In spite of the noise of the descending bridge and the oncoming train, he still heard the anguished screams of his beloved son being crushed to death between the gears of the bridge. John Griffith lifted his tear-stained face and looked into the windows of the passing train. A businessman was reading the morning newspaper. A uniformed conductor was glancing nonchalantly at his large vest pocket watch. Ladies were already sipping their afternoon tea in the dining cars. A small boy, looking strangely like his own son, pushed a long, thin spoon into a large dish of ice cream. Many of the passengers seemed to be engaged in idle conversation or careless laughter. No one even looked his way. No one even cast a glance at the giant gearbox that housed the mangled remains of his hopes and dreams. In anguish, he pounded the glass in the control room. He cried out, "What's the matter with you people? Don't you know? Don't you care? Don't you know I've sacrificed my son for you? What's wrong with you?" No one answered. No one heard. No one even looked. Not one of them seemed to care. And then, as suddenly as it happened, it was over. The train disappeared, moving rapidly across the bridge and out over the horizon. True story. Do you see the parallel with the Christmas story? The sacrifice of one offers life to all. Please understand that the Christmas story we're celebrating today is just the beginning of the story. You see, Jesus came to earth not to live, but to die. And like John Griffith, God did not take pleasure in watching his son die. It had to have been agonizing for God to stand by as Jesus died, covered in the immense darkness of your sin, of my sin, of the sin of the world. The sacrifice had to be made in order for us to live. There was no choice. It had to happen. And like those 400 plus people on the train, we have the choice regarding what we will do with the sacrifice. We can choose to ignore it. I mean, we can ignore God. And even not bother considering what God did on our behalf. We can choose to look at God briefly, to glance in passing, and then continue on to live our own life with our own priorities and our own plans. Or we can acknowledge what it was that God sacrificed to give us life. We can embrace it. We can accept it. And choose to live our lives for God. Can I ask you this morning, as we kind of wrap it up here before we go downstairs, where are you? Where are you on life's train? Can you see the anguish in the Father's eyes as you pass by? As you choose to ignore him in your life? You know that he offered his greatest sacrifice, his one and only son, so that you and I could live? Will you accept it Will you choose to give your life to him because of this gift that he's given for you? Unlike the Memphis Express, however, an express that caught John Griffith by surprise, God, in his great love, determined to sacrifice his son so that we might live. See, back in eternity past, God looked down through all the people and his eyes were searching for you. He was searching for me. And before we were even conceived, God decided to send his son to die on the cross for the sins of the world. That's Christmas. That's the Christmas gift. He gave his gift at Christmas so that on Good Friday, he could die. But we know Easter came and God rose him from the dead. Jesus went willingly. Matter of fact, Jesus himself said this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John chapter 10 and verse 11. God wasn't caught by surprise like John Griffith was. God didn't wake up one morning and say, "Oh my goodness, how did this happen?" It was planned. And it was planned for you. And it was planned for me. All we have to do is accept God's gift. See, that's the Christmas story. God the Son sending, God the Father sending God the Son to redeem a lost world. That is the Christmas present. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 26. And God's saying to you this morning, he says, "In a sea of people, my eyes will always search for you because he's got a gift for you, a gift that only God can give, the gift of eternal life." In just a moment, we're going to send you downstairs. People have been baking. Some people have been eating the baking. But there's refreshments downstairs. Your kids are downstairs. In fact, I just heard, hold on. They said, "Hurry up and get down and get your kids." Right there. Just kidding. In just a second, we're going to go down. But let me just say this. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Christmas is all about getting gifts and giving gifts. But don't miss the greatest gift that was given. Jesus Christ died so that we could live.